B-Pod Studios.
Legs, good afternoon, buddy.
Ant, what's up, bud? Good to be on with you, man.
You're the best. We love you. And we're dying for you to kind of break down where the Sixers are, what you look at the next, when you look at the East, how they stack up against those other three teams.
Well, starting off with this, it's the best roster in Eastern Conference. It's easily the best starting five in the Eastern Conference. And actually, if you include their depth now, some of the guys they added, which didn't get a lot of talk because of Tobias Harris, they added some guys that are going to really help them off the bench as well. So there's no question, top to bottom, this is the best roster in the conference. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they run roughshod through the East and they win three rounds in the playoffs and get to the finals. Anthony, you know as well as I do, the word chemistry and flow, right? Those are big things with a team offensively. And I'm not sure like they've really clicked on all cylinders as is with Jimmy Butler added to the mix. And now you're going to add another guy that, to Sixers fans, it might look like they added a spacing four-man. If you treat Tobias Harris strictly as that, he's not going to enjoy playing here very much, and you're going to have a problem with your hands because he's a better player than that. This is not a better version of Mike Muscala. This is not what they asked Carmelo to be in Oklahoma City and Houston. He's a lot more than that, and he's a 21-point scorer that's going to be a free agent this summer, and he's 26 years old. So if you think he's going to be content to just stand around and play off of Embiid and Simmons, then you're going to have a problem on your hands. And that's Brett Brown's responsibility, and that's his teammates' responsibility for all of these guys to put their own individual agenda to the side and make this all about the greater good. And understand, with five guys like this in your starting lineup, some quarters aren't going to be your quarters. Some nights won't be your night. But if everybody understands that it will be your turn, and more importantly, on given possession, if it's your turn to get it because you're open and it's supposed to go there and it's going to go there, you build up trust. And if you could build up trust over the next 25 games and you have something special going into the playoffs with these guys, then this team I could absolutely see them playing in the NBA Finals.
Legs, when you look at the addition of Tobias Harris, and as you said, Jimmy Butler still hasn't fully integrated. Now the real integration begins. I think they got just less than 30 games to go in the regular season. Tell us really quick, you know, when Tobias Harris, his presence on the floor, both with the ball and without the ball, his ability to shoot, how much it will affect this entire starting five for the Sixers, and in particular, what it does for a guy like Ben Simmons.
Well, here's the deal. It's enormous. And when you have a guy that shoots it at this rate, and it's weird, when you start looking at lists with best percentages off the catch and shoot, with best percentages from the three off the dribble, you see a bunch of pure shooters in there, guys that are like two guards and point guards. And then you see Tobias Harris in that list as a power forward. That's the level we're talking about with this guy's stroke. So here's what it means for Ben Simmons. Here's what it means for Butler. Here's what it means for Embiid. It means that a defender has to be one step, two steps closer to Tobias Harris so they can get back to him on the catch. And what that means is the driving lane for Ben Simmons is a little bit more clear. The isolation plays for Butler are a little less crowded. There's one less guy sitting in Joel Embiid's lap. So I just described three elite offensive players that are going to have less traffic to deal with because this is a completely different level player that's going to hurt you on the swing, on the kick out. And on a closeout, by the way, if you do get there in time, this is a guy that can put it down, get by you, and get to the rim if your closeout isn't good. So that's what it means. It means less traffic for those other guys. And that means obviously more physical dominance out of guys that are capable of doing it if they get one less defender bothering them.
The great Tim Legler with us on the Comcast Business Hotline. Legs, I would be disappointed if they couldn't work this out ego-wise because they're – skill sets match so perfectly on the floor. And, you know, with Ben Simmons being such a facilitator, it he's even more, I mean, if you think about it, like Golden State has one guy that doesn't need the ball. It's Draymond, who's a really good facilitator. Ben, not only doesn't need shots, he's an incredible, like, he's such a great passer that he's going to get you great looks. So I would be disappointed if guys were ended up not being happy.
Yeah, I would be very disappointed in it too because, I mean, the bottom line is this. You look at what they're putting together here, and unless I'm wrong, can you guys correct me? I do believe the last time we saw a parade led by that guy that's getting a statue unveiled today. It was 1983, if I'm not mistaken. That's 36 years ago. Okay, so they should be thinking about that and what they're capable of doing together if they can put it to the side. Now, there's one difference, major difference between them and Golden State right now, and that is two of Golden State's best players, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry, they run about as much in a game as anybody in the league without the basketball, and it creates incredible opportunities because of the pressure they put on the defense to communicate where they are. They're willing to make, you know, cuts, five consecutive possessions. Yeah. Even though they don't get it, they run just as hard on the next trip. If Philadelphia plays too stagnantly, this will not work. They need to make sure they're willing to make that cut knowing I won't get it, because it's going to lead to something great for the guy coming right up the floor behind me. If they can get that, and that's Brett Brown's responsibility, and it's also these guys collectively getting together and saying this is what it's going to take, and we don't want to be an underachievement. We want to be the team that brings another parade to this city, and it's not related to the Eagles. It's related to the basketball team.
Yeah, and that's the problem with – I don't worry about that with J.J. because he'll do it all day long.
Right, correct.
But it's Butler that I'm worried about the most.
Right, and here's the thing. The difference with J.J. Redick and those guys is this. J.J.'s a great player, what he does in the league. J.J.'s not your primary guy, so he has to play that way to get options, right? Golden State's main scorers play that way.
Yeah.
So imagine if Jimmy Butler played that way off the ball in a system that had that kind of ball movement. If Tobias Harris moved that way in the confines of the offense, you'd have something that would be absolutely unguardable because of all the firepower. So now it comes down to, what are you going to do package-wise if you're Brett Brown? What wrinkles are you going to put in? How are you going to get these guys to facilitate the ball movement and the body movement that it takes to make them more difficult to defend? Right now, the Milwaukee Bucks, if we started the playoffs tomorrow, I'm saying the Bucks are the favorite because they've gotten chemistry all year. Like start to finish, that's been the most consistent team. They're top five both ends of the floor. They've got an elite superstar that can break you down at will, and then they got a ton of shooters around them, and they're incredibly well coached. Philadelphia's got time to get the chemistry that their talent can overcome a team like Milwaukee, a team like Boston, and a team like Toronto. But it certainly isn't going to be easy, and it's not a guarantee that it's going to happen. I really firmly believe any of these four teams could end up in the finals. That's how great the Eastern Conference is right now at the top.
Legs, when you look at it, you know, a couple of teams improved themselves, including the Sixers in the past couple of days, obviously with Tobias Harris and the other pieces that you mentioned. And you bring up Toronto, they get Marc Gasol. You get a team in Milwaukee, they end up with Mirotić. Who helped themselves the most?
Philadelphia, without question. Philadelphia. If you're asking me of all of those teams, it's Philly. If you're asking me amongst those other three, I would probably say Milwaukee with Mirotić. Because of the way they play, you talk about a guy tailor-made. I think he's fourth in the league in catch and shoot threes. I mean, Brook Lopez has already reinvented himself to basically extend his career playing with a guy like Giannis. Now you've got another guy in Mirotić who can do that as well, playing off of this guy that you just cannot keep out of the lane. You can't keep him from being at the front of the rim in Giannis. So he's a perfect fit. Gasol, for me, as much as I've admired him throughout his career, if this was 3 or 4 years ago, it would have moved the needle for me a lot more with the Raptors. I think his passing ability more than anything is what is going to be nice for this team. But the truth is this, their best defensive team is going to be Ibaka, Siakam, Kawhi, Danny Green, and Kyle Lowry. So what do they do at the end of a game? Are you going to have Mark? No, he's a great rim protector, but that's not the way the league looks anymore. The league looks with versatility on the perimeter to defend the three-point line, switch out on ball screens, cover ground. Look at the guys that can shoot the basketball from the perimeter in the East at the center position that they're going to have to play. Marc Gasol could find himself in a tough spot late in game. So I'm not sure exactly yet what his true impact will be. He's 34 years old. It's a little different for him now. Mirotić, great fit. And obviously Boston basically stood pat because they're going to do their thing this summer. But they're playing their best basketball of the year right now. So they're flowing for the first time all season. Brown, Tatum, Rozier, all those guys are finally playing well. That wasn't the case most of the season.
Legs, do us a favor. Let's look at the bench for a second because you seem to like the roster. Do they still need that backup point guard that can shoot a little bit? I'm a Patrick Beverley freak. I was hoping to get bought out.
Man, that would be phenomenal. A guy that can work you defensively like that and, be a more consistent open three-point shooter than TJ is. Listen, man, I know everybody would, you know, you look at TJ McConnell and you say, yeah, you know, you think, okay, we should be able to upgrade that spot. The bottom line is this. That guy brings something so intangible to this team with anything he does. Any play that TJ McConnell makes on the floor is worth three times what other guys could do in that spot because of what he means to the energy in the building,
yeah.
What he means to the energy of the team. He's their best on-the-ball defender up the floor. There's a real value in that that you are never going to see in a box score. And the way he relates to the crowd, the way they relate to him, you really can't put a price on that. I'm okay with TJ McConnell in that spot because the bottom line is this. If you get to a point where you're worried about him maybe getting posted by someone, whatever, okay, there's other options of how you can run your offense if Ben Simmons is off the floor. You don't necessarily need a prototypical point guard out there, but I like what he brings. I think he's earned the right to be in this spot with this other group of guys, with Simmons and Mike Scott and Ennis and Boban. I think TJ McConnell's earned the right to be part of that group, and I think you're going to be okay in that spot. I'm not really that worried about it. Here's the other thing, guys. People forget sometimes. Their starting five is so good, it is their bench. Because after the first 6 minutes of the game, right, you start staggering guys.
Right,
and
you're going to integrate
them. No point should they have less than three on the floor at any time. At no point.
And at that point, you have a scorer on the floor at all times. So we're talking with Tim Legger, ESPN, on the Comcast Business Hotline.
He's the best.
Tim, when you look at it, Markelle Fultz, the era in Philadelphia was full of a lot of drama, a lot of misfortune, a lot of confusion. Were you surprised that he was dealt? And, you know, how would you kind of describe how this whole thing went down in regards to Markelle Fultz? And, you know, he's going to be now a member of the Orlando Magic.
I'm not shocked at all he got dealt. I actually was envisioning Elton Brand going door to door like he was selling Avon with Markelle Fultz.
Pink Cadillac?
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, exactly. No, that's Mary Kay. I know
that's right.
My wife's a consultant, so that's Mary Kay. Yeah. I'm not shocked he got dealt. I'm shocked they got back what they did, if you want to be honest with you. Now, Jonathan Simmons might not do it for a lot of people because they're not familiar with him, but the picks, like, I'm surprised. But I guess if you're Orlando, they looked at it and said, look, if this guy turns out to be, you know, really was physical and he can overcome the mental aspect by getting out of Philadelphia, we ended up with the number one pick in the draft. So for them, you know, they looked at it like, let's roll the dice. What? Why not? And that's what they did. I'm not convinced Markelle Fultz is going to turn this thing around. I hope that he does. I'm really rooting for him because I know what I saw a couple years ago and I know it's there, but I don't know if it can come back because I think it's a combination of dealing with something physical that manifested itself into something between his ears. And I don't know if that wiring is ever going to go back. I do know this. He needs to be in an environment where no one's really paying attention and there's no scrutiny and no pressure. He's going to that environment. So that is, if it doesn't work out here, I'm not sure he's going to have a career. So I laud the Sixers for biting the bullet and saying, look, this did not work out. It's hard to admit that sometimes. They didn't give him any more time. They're trying to do this thing right now. And there is no way Markelle Fultz could have contributed on a team with these kind of expectations right now.
All right, last thing, because you and I see the same, but there are people that think that the price the Sixers paid for Butler and Tobias, the fact that they're both expiring contracts, was too heavy. What do you say to those people?
I completely disagree with that. I wholeheartedly disagree with it. Who are we talking about here? You're talking about Dario Saric, who I think if you really look at it, ultimately what his impact in the league is, that's more of a fan favorite. He's a good player. He's never going to play in an All-Star game.
Yeah.
When you look at Robert Covington, right, he's a guy that, people loved him because he could play perimeter D, incredibly streaky three-point shooter. You can find other Robert Covingtons. They got a significantly better player to try to do this now with two young superstars that they drafted, and the window is short sometimes because you don't know if you don't win soon enough if you're going to be able to retain the talent you drafted. So they added him to go for it. And now look what you gave up. I love what Landry Shamet was doing too, but you can find Landry Shamet. They're not that hard to find. You can't find guys like Tobias Harris. They don't fall off trees. So now you've acquired the talent that you need to really make a run at it instead of being 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
They're both
feet in now, and I think they've made it clear. Now, it doesn't mean it's a failure if they don't win this year.
You're right. You have a team now that can compete. Legs, we have one of our heroes has just sat in front of me, Legs. It is the Julius great
Irvin?
Doc.
Is it yes. Julius Irvin? Yeah, well, he's one of my heroes, too, and he's also, I consider him a friend as well. And I'm glad Doc is there with you guys, man. Make sure you give him my best.
Tim.
You just did.
Legs, Legs, he heard you, man. Tim Legler's on the line. He loves you, Doc.
Straight up, Tim. All right, man. No, I do love him. He's awesome.
Educate,
he's
Doc.
Awesome.
I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Legs.
Legs, we love you, buddy.
There he is.
Be careful.
Tim Legler.
The great Tim Legler in, yes, joining us.
Educate, he said. Educate.
The legend. The first book I ever read my entire life was The Legend of Dr. J.
Is that
written
right?
By Bill Goodman.
Oh, boy. How about that? The autobiography?
Yes.
The unsanctioned autobiography?
By the way. You didn't get paid for that?
I was unsanctioned, man.
Doc, yeah. Really?
Don't worry about it. It wouldn't have been that much anyway.
It was my favorite. Like, The Legend of Dr. J was my favorite book.
Yeah, but it was unsanctioned.
That's not cool, man.
It was unsanctioned.
I
was only a baby.
Yes, I know somebody that wants to write the new legend that'll be sanctioned. He's sitting next to me.
No, we did the sanctioned biography.
Yeah, it was
2012.
Which was incredible.
We need the updated 2019 version.
So a lot of stuff's happened since then.
Yeah.
Doc, God bless you, man. You look fantastic, as
thank
always.
You. Thank you.
Handsome, dude, man,
when
bro.
When they came through the door, they wanted to monetize my brand because they said, you know, I look fantastic.
Yeah.
I said, okay, how much are we talking about?
it was funny because I always go back. Like, you were the first crossover athlete in the NBA. I mean, doing the national brands with Susie Chaffee. Talking
Chapstick
about the emollients.
Dr. Pepper. Chapstick has emollients. To deal with the wind and the cold.
You still remember the lines.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you committed that to memory.
I remember the Dr. Pepper stuff, you know. And
the Spalding, remember
the Cowbirds, take two of these and call me in the morning.
Yeah.
Right, we did with Larry Bird.
That was the greatest. I used to have the poster. It was you, and the basketball was cut open. You were operating.
Like it was
a little surgery.
Surgery on the ball.
That was like a sport magazine cover or something.
I told you.
Magazine.
Yeah.
The nostalgia. You know, my guy, Barry Bookhard, who's CEO for Dr. J Enterprise, but he brings that stuff up, you know, every now and then. It's not to be forgotten, and it's good. It's good that somebody is an archivist like him who has access to it. He's got it all in his computers, and he knows.
Doc, I believe
you. I forget stuff, but he reminds me.
You know what? If he doesn't do it, I'll do it.
Are you ready?
You got a good job.
He's an encyclopedia.
I know all about. I used to have the number 6 chain. Growing up,
he's for real.
When you had the shoe store, the shoe salon on Walmart Street.
Second,
my aunt Cookie.
Second.
She used to always go.
Really?
Yeah, and because we loved you, my cousin Joey and I, we loved you. And so we saw
So you know the store got hit, and you start talking about cousin Joey. I'm hearing all this stuff now. Did you love me that much? How much did you love me?
Speaking of love, one of your former teammates honored today.
Yeah.
You guys did something really special in this town in 1983.
Yeah.
To see that unveiling of the Moses bust on Legends Walk out here outside the practice facility, what was that moment like for you and all the ensuing pomp and circumstance?
Very emotional moment with his sons being there and his family from Virginia, from Houston. So many friends came in. Last time I saw most of them was at his funeral service, literally. And Charles did a great job at his service, by the way. What did it feel like? I mean, I think it's almost like bringing the team back together. Because you got Moses, you got me, you got Bobby, got Maurice right there. And, you know, Andrew's somewhere in that future. And, Moses wants all the guys to have statues.
Right.
Which, you know, I mean, this is a big place.
Yeah.
This facility.
We can handle another.
They probably could support some more statues.
Yeah, we got 22 and 34.
It'll be the Legends Mile by the time it's all done.
The Legends Mile. That's a good moniker. But, I felt good. I felt good about coming in, as I do every time I come back, you know, to support the organization, do a game, do some mingling with the sponsors and the season ticket holders. You know, it's never been my MO to be an administrator or part of front office or whatever. I did that for a few years in Orlando, and it had its run. And then we moved on, so there was no looking back. But the role here with the 76ers as an alumni and a supporter of the organization is, it's good. It's a good, healthy one. And they're not too demanding, which is great because, you know, another week I'll be 69. So, you know, I'll have me running around.
How's that?
They don't want to have 69? A brother running around too much.
I look that good at
69, man.
I look that good at 49.
When you think about Moses and you think about, I was talking about it earlier, that was weird because the signing trade happens in September before the 82 season, like September before. Yeah, and there was a lot of conjecture. Were you guys thinking like, you know what? You know, he was coming, and did you expect him to come at that point?
Well, what happened, we actually went on a trip to China, and I was with Pat Williams and 17 guys, and we were doing sort of a missionary trip over there, and Pat was working the phones, and Harold was working the phones.
Really?
and we got a call. I think it was in August, actually. And so we got Moses Malone, and ML Carr went... Because you know he was the mouth of the trip.
He was, I could imagine,
smart guy, but always you got Moses Malone. Are you kidding?
Damn.
So when we got back, we were excited about coming back, coming to camp, and you know the whole deal. And you know, from as Maurice has stated many times, from that first day of practice, I mean, the team just looked like they could beat anybody. Ooh. On any given night, the team could beat anybody with him, because. You know, Caldwell was great, Darryl, great, Harvey Catchings. Center by committee can only take you so far,
yeah.
As we proved.
Yeah.
It got us to the finals,
yeah.
You know,
three
different times with center by committee. But we needed somebody who was going to man that spot and demand and win that matchup. You know, when you came against Kareem and when you came against Bob Lanier and you came against Wes Unseld.
Those three centers.
So it wasn't center by committee. We went away from that and we got streamlined and ran through the league.
I mean, the break was amazing, man, because, you know, Moses out to Mo.
Yeah.
You're on the wing.
Yeah.
Bobby's trailing.
Yeah.
And it was like one of the most things of beauty.
It was daunting. Our fast break was daunting, but we had what we call a secondary break. So if we didn't get the score, we went right into our offense. And by, you know, scouting the other team, we already knew where the advantages were. So it was just like Billy didn't even have to say it. You know, he just knew. He said, go. And if we didn't score... We got into the secondary break. Lots of times it would just be me coming off the wing and Tony throwing a lob pass, catching it and dunking it. Whatever, the double screen down, coming up, freeing up somebody. And Mo was so good at, you know, getting everybody the ball. You know, he was a selfless guy, and yet he was still Hall of Fame caliber player.
You don't find
guys like that.
Was that the trick with... You know, listen, you were an ultimate team guy. Even though you needed the ball, you recognized the greatness with Andrew, and you recognized that the big man had to touch it.
Yeah.
Like, the caliber of players, because it's funny, the Sixers got, you know, strong five right now, and it's how do you check yourself to be able to dominate?
Yeah, I think Sixers looking a lot like the Warriors in that you got four guys, maybe five guys, capable of on any given night being the shining star, you know, being the GOAT. Philly has that. And, you know, you want to appeal to the egos. So that's just going to be good communication saying, hey, it's one for all and all for one. You know, if we win together, everybody's going to get their due. They're going to get their money. They're going to get their recognition. They're going to get what you have. But, you know, less is more.
Individually.
I mean, you probably don't need, you know, one guy going out and saying, I'm getting 50 tonight, or I'm getting 40, or I'm getting 30, or whatever. You gotta look where you have the advantages and say, all right, our game plan tonight. Look, when we're running, anybody can take the shot, because whoever's open, you know, you get free, you're open. But when we settle down, we got to exploit this matchup.
So you went by matchups,
we,
right?
We got to exploit this matchup. Absolutely, we got to go at their weakest defensive player, or we got to go at a strong offensive player who we want to get in foul trouble.
Yeah,
right.
We want to get into penalties.
Attack.
So that's why there's a game plan. I mean, that's why coach gets the big bucks. You know,
Dr. J, if he can convey that.
If he can convey that and sell it. It'll work wonders.
When you remember Moses, right, and you remember him just down low and dominating the glass and sweeping the boards, what kind of stands to mind as far as you remember when he was in Houston and dominating by himself? But what stands out as just as a ball player? Like what was he? What stands out to you?
Well, you know, Moses had this thing about him, and it was like sweating.
Yeah. Wow, you know, he's always
dripping.
Yeah. I had this thing about sweating. And he said, if I ain't sweating, I ain't working. And, you know, we get into a practice, 2 minutes into the practice, he's dripping wet. And everybody else is just kind of perspiring a little bit. whatever. So he reveled in the sweat. I mean, Bill Russell, he had to take a dump before he, you know, everybody had their thing. Wood had his thing.
So evacuate yourself.
Wood had to get a couple girls before he. Yeah. Everybody had their thing or whatever. So his thing was if I got the sweat, and then guys don't want to be hanging on him. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, like, slippery.
They keep their hands off. He's a sweaty guy. He's like an eel. He's slippery eel. Yeah. Or whatever, so it's crazy stuff like that, but he was always ready, and I was that type of player too. Where, you know, I never let my teammates see me down, or you know, feeling like I got a headache, I got a toeache, or whatever. You know, crying, whimpering, or whatever. I want to be the leader. I want to be leader. Hey man, let's go. Let's strap it up. Yeah, something hurts. Something been hurting since I was a rookie.
Right.
You know,
I mean,
in this profession,
I remember
something is supposed to hurt. Yeah. You ain't doing it right if something doesn't hurt. Now, how does that incapacitate you?
Right.
You know, there's certain things
them?
That can, you know, take you out. I mean, I hated missing games.
And your knees. I mean, you had
a celebrated case of tendonitis.
Yeah,
but I overcame that. Really, I did, and you know, I just overcame it. You know, the therapy that I did and the preparation before game, pregame, postgame, or whatever. And I had a few years where it was a problem, but I blocked it out and just kept on marching.
What was that moment like when you guys finally won in 83?
Because you were trying to climb the mountain.
It was
a calming moment for me. I mean, it was just like, okay. You know, Pat Riley comes in. Oh, you got the skeletons out of the closet, huh? Okay.
Beat it, Pat.
What does that mean?
Yeah,
I mean, you know. And it was like, I think the validation, ABA, NBA, mm-hmm. you know, being the only guy, pretty much champions in both league, MVP in both leagues. And so it created some interesting stats, you know, for media. But for me, yeah, it had a calming effect. It was just like, okay, if I had never played basketball again, you know, there's all the things that could have been goals in basketball were accomplished.
You checked all the boxes on that night.
Checked the boxes.
And you had like a serenity to you?
Yeah, everybody's jumping, running around, and they're all excited.
Maurice did the dunk.
And I was like,
end it.
I was with Bobby. You know, Bobby was meditating, you know, praying, and I was giving thanks as well. So we were just kind of sitting there calm. And all this chaos was in the locker room. And next thing I know, Andrew runs in, and I get hit with champagne and this and that. But I had gone through the champagne celebrations before.
Sure.
And, you know, with conferences and so on and so forth, with ABA titles or whatever. So that was less meaningful than just respecting that moment and realizing, becoming all too close to realizing that it was one of those things that didn't have to happen, you know?
You look at guys that never won it.
Yeah,
Charles.
Never got to the Marino, finals. Never got to the semifinals. Yeah. There's probably guys in pro basketball never played a playoff game.
No.
Great players.
I never played an NCAA game.
Yeah, all UMass.
And I had a good college career, but we just didn't get selected.
But you know what's funny about you is that everybody was happy for you. Like, Lakers. I mean, you say all those guys afterwards, like, you know, listen, you know, we're happy for Doc. You know, even the rats up in Boston, they had respect. Like, you know, it was respect for Doc.
That was respect. That was respect. There's still some wise asses out there, but whatever. But overall, I think I made a really good contribution to the league and to basketball, period. And, you know, represented my team, represented my family, represented the game at a lot of different levels. So I think, you know, that validation and that response was because of the package.
It was honest.
It was the package. It wasn't just, you know, a player who goes out there every night and, you know, scores 25 points and does the statistics or whatever. I think it was the package, the presentation to the public. And then the respect for the media. You know, I always had a really good working relationship with the media. I never ran away from tough questions, never ran away from interviews. And, you know, just pretty much told the truth.
Did you realize, I don't even know if you did at the time, of what you meant as a figure to to us in Philadelphia, right? And as a man, as a black man, during that period of time where there is a lot of divide in the city, the whole thing, and you brought people together. Like you had a big impact on all of us. I can tell you, growing up, man.
Well, there were things that were done consciously, and then there were things that were done unconsciously. And I think the unconscious piece was, you know, letting the game and letting the results do the talking. So the unification of Philadelphia from a race standpoint and a discriminatory standpoint, political standpoint, or whatever. We did bring the city together in 83 in a very special way because there was a great divide there. And I think on a lesser so, on a conscious level of, you know, getting in front of youth and getting in front of groups, different groups of people, and spending time with them and just, you know, just being straight with them. Basketball's a game. I mean, you know, it's not life or death and whatever, because with some fans and even today, I mean, there are people who look at it as life and death.
Yeah.
And it's really not. I mean, it's just, if you're fortunate enough to be good enough to play, and you play, if you're selected in the draft or free agency, you get out there, you play, and suddenly all those years are gone, and now you're looking back, and I'm a former basketball player, but I got life to live. So sure. I've been out of basketball for 30 years. You know, 30 plus years now. So 87 was my last year. You know,
it's 2019.
So I don't even like talking about basketball.
you always had time.
What are you talking about basketball? Because you called me in here.
I appreciate that.
Or whatever. You know, my personal agenda is more about life or death.
Sure.
You know, planning the retirement and kids' education. And you know, I've got kids in college. I got kids in boarding school. I got grandkids. So I got family issues to deal with. How do I help my sons and my daughters, 4 sons and 3 daughters, how do I help them with paving the way and navigating through all the things that they have to navigate through?
You're the patriarch.
So I'm a patriarch in the family, and I have a few people who are older, but then a lot of times they come to me for advice.
Sure.
So personally speaking, yeah, I can't eat, sleep, and drink it. You know, I can't be the Pete Rose basketball or whatever, because that's just, there are so many things that are much more important. Now, I can enjoy it. I can enjoy the trades that were made and the deal and the potential of the Sixers right now, because it's a very exciting time.
Sure.
And I'll be in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Know, do a couple gigs in Charlotte, do the game.
That's cool.
But lots of that is entertaining customers and entertaining clients and my brand partners and, you know, making sure they have a good time, because you know, it's like a soap opera to me. But with this new format, it might be kind of interesting, though. The new format, the guys drafting.
That's right.
You know, no East-West
anymore.
No,
man, it's weird.
Like, It'd be like my team against your team.
Yeah.
Guys picking teams, too.
It's like back a rocker.
Yeah, like back in the park.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take this guy.
Yeah. Somebody's feelings going to get hurt, though. Oh,
some guys let their feelings get hurt more than others, too.
Yeah. The captains don't care.
The best is in the documentary about you and the guys in the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Looking
on
down
the buildings.
Watching, getting glitch, watching play,
you
man.
You can't manufacture that.
Nah, man,
they can't duplicate it because it was so authentic.
It was real, it was organic.
It was authentic, man. We showed up on Sunday in that park, and those people, and we had to come through the crowd like Tiger Woods was coming through in the finals at East Lake when the crowd opened up and he came through. It was like that.
Wow.
It was from the car to the outdoor court. It was like that. You had to work your way through that crowd, and then you get on the court. It's like, whew. Okay, I made that part.
Now I got to play.
Now we got to play.
we got winners, baby.
Let me ask you about Embiid, because you're a cultural icon, and you see the way he is on and off the court.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's just a sensational guy.
He's amazing, man. He's amazing. He's got the it factor, and, you know, Shaq, there's only one Shaq. But if anybody's going in that direction, I think it's Joel. You know, he's going to have a Shaq, a Shaquille-like presence in society, on and off the court, because, you know, he's a dominant force on the court, as Shaquille was, or whatever, but likes to have fun.
Big
has
personality.
A big smile, big personality, bigger than life.
Yeah.
I mean, Shaquille's more popular now than when he played. Because of his commercials that he does, the general and all that stuff. And I see Joel going in that direction. I think he's been reading
great
some
player too.
Books, and he's a tremendous player.
Yeah.
John, thank you.
Yeah, he can shoot better than Shaq, you know?
Yeah.
You think?
Especially at the line.
He can shoot better than Shaq.
He's got a little more range.
You think?
Doc, we know you're a busy man, and we want to thank you. Listen, at a time with kids today, they idolize a lot of comic book people and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, you were our idols, like you.
You
know, you were my idol, and you are
being there.
You were the best, man.
Thank you,
and you still are.
Thanks,
Doc.
Enjoy your serving, joining us here.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.